Hi everyone, welcome to the Handicap Rugby Chat That Matters. It's Thursday night, 9 o'clock South African time, and I say South African time because no doubt about it, we've got a bit of a global audience. In fact, we've got quite a few people who watch from the UK. Guys love their rugby betting all over the world. And I must tell you, on the Good for the Game forum at the moment, it's the European rugby that's all the rage. We can't wait to get the Australian tournament out the way. We are looking forward to the Meaty 10 Cup starting as well. But it's all about the European game, and pleased that we're going to have someone from Europe in the studio tonight. I've got a feeling you'll recognize the stadium in the background. And it's welcome to Dave Cooney. Dave, great to have you on the show.
Brent, thanks for having us. We've been listening the last few weeks and really enjoying the work from you and all the boys.
Excellent. Well, great to have you on the show. Look forward to your opinions, in particular on the European rugby. We're going to be talking Australian playoff Reds against the Rebels. We'll run through the European rugby. Unfortunately, no Gallagher Premiership prices. Those come out so late due to team selections. And then we'll also move on to a little bit of French rugby, which I guess falls under European. And then we'll talk Meaty 10 Cup, and then Dave will excuse himself to go and do a bit of babysitting. And Henrik Swart will come in, no doubt, having had a nice Brian, a couple of brandies to talk to us about the New Zealand game. But let's introduce a last-minute inclusion to the show. It's the conductor himself. Conductor, good to have you on the show, and I hope your appearance this week is longer than it was last week.
Thanks, Brent. Yeah, didn't last very long last week for an entire minute, but I thought it was an excellent minute from my side. It was an impact performance there. But no, thanks, Brenty. Hopefully, always a pleasure to be on the show with you boys, and hopefully we can pick some good winners tonight.
Excellent. Well, it was the first show I can tell you where you haven't made a single incorrect call. So well played there. And let's see how we go tonight. And just to welcome to all the guys who do watch on the show. And I enjoy this one from Dina. The Handicap is hosted by Elvis. I look a bit like, I don't know if any of you guys watched Brad Wiggins in the Tour de France a few years ago with the old sideburns, but I haven't cut my hair since lockdown. There's no excuse. Barbers have been open for a long time, but I've set myself a weight goal. And as you can tell, each week I haven't hit my weight goal yet. In fact, I'm getting further and further away from it. But let's
go. I should probably start one of those, Brent.
Sorry, what's that, Dave?
I should probably do one of those as well.
Hey, I don't know. You look like you've only got one chin there, so don't worry. You're still fine. But let's start off in Australia, guys. This Australian tournament's winding to a close. We've just got the two games left. And Brendan, I'll start with you. We've got the Reds -8.5. And I've said the Brumbies there, so please ignore that. I'll quickly correct that now. But the Reds, it's obviously, of course, up against the Rebels. And they're -8.5 points in Brisbane. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, Brent, look, I won't be focusing on the handicap. That handicap's a bit high for a playoff game. If I had to take the handicap, I would take Reds on the minus. The Rebels against the Reds couldn't score. And man alive, that battle terribly last week against the Force to get that eventual try down to win it, to actually go through to this knockoff phase. So, the Reds defense has stepped up with Liam Wright is brilliant there. Harry Wilson's had a good game. So I think their defense is solid, but this is one of my best bets of the week. I haven't seen the points line, but if it's points lines in around 46-47, that'll see my money. An Aussie playoff game, I don't think there are a lot of points. The Reds defense is solid and the Rebels can't score. So if I can hit a decent points line here, that'll be my best bet. So I won't even muck around with the handicap there.
Well, I was hoping to see some points lines before the show. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like anything's coming. Like you, I've been impressed by the Reds, and I'll be interested in Dave's theory on this. I've got a different opinion on playoff games. I often like the minus in playoff games. And Dave, my reasoning is that, you know, there's no reason to chase bonus points or anything. It's win or bust. And I often find the team that falls behind can often start chasing the game, which in turn opens up opportunities for the other team. But I also, at the same time, take the conductor's point about an Aussie derby. You generally can't get too excited about these. What are your thoughts on this one?
No, well, if you use what Brady was saying last week in the Leinster match, the game a couple of weeks ago offered loads of points. And then it being a playoff game last week, no bonus point to chase. It was just like they were going for kicks, and it was much more low scoring a game being a playoff. I'd agree with Brendan. I think it's going to be lower scoring. And if I was going to go on the handicap, it will be the minus. I think the Reds have been much more appetizing the last couple of weeks. The Force nearly pulled off a miracle and saved the Waratahs last week. The last time they played, I think it was 19-3 to the Rebels. To the Reds.
To the Reds.
I see it being a home win.
Yeah, funny enough, you mentioned that 19-3 game. I was on the Reds that day, and I think most of the guys were, but The second half, the Rebels absolutely dominated. And once again, it was the Reds' defense that just kept them out the whole time. I'm also leaning towards the Reds here on the handicap. That is my fancy. But Neil sums it up nicely. The Aussie derby won't see my loot all loaded onto the New Zealand competition this week. We'll get into that now. But Dave, Brent? Just perhaps a little... Brendan?
Sorry, Brent. I think I read something during the week. And I'm not sure. I'll have to confirm it. But I believe there's going to be 25,000 fans at the ground. So that also big make a big difference in the Reds camp there in Brisbane.
Not a full house, but at least a half a full house.
Yeah, I mean,
a big difference.
Well, it'll be as full as any Aussie stadiums normally is. So, but I think that makes a big difference in the Reds camp there. I'll have to confirm it, but I'm sure I read something like that, that there will be fans there at the game.
And just confirm as well, I mean, the Rebels actually haven't been home now for basically to the duration of the tournament due to quarantine. So not only have they not played at home, but they can't even go home in between matches. Am I right? So, I mean, they must be pretty out on their feet by now.
Mm. I mean, Brent, I mean, they've been on the road like the Force. They've basically been on the road since the beginning of the competition. So, you know, whether you like it or not sleeping in your own bed for, 10 weeks, 11 weeks, I think takes its toll mentally, physically. So, yeah, you know, even thinking about that, I'm worried about this unders now because I actually think the Reds might blow the Rebels away. I just think the defense is so much better, you know, the way the Reds have been playing lately. But, you know, I think the unders still for me is going to be the way. I expect a sort of a 10-minute, 15-minute kickathon, which will see a lot of, ball out of play.
Yeah, and of course, there's another option as well when the Lions come out is if you do fancy the Reds' defense to hold firm is to go unders on Rebels points only. So that will be the other option there. So that's just the one Australian game. We're going to get to New Zealand rugby at the end because Hendrik Swart's going to join us for that. But let's go on to the big final this weekend, the Pro 14 match. And Dave, going up to you, before we get on to the final, just give us a bit of background. How did you get into punting? At what age? Were you one of those who were brought up on the side of the racetrack there? or did you get into it at a later age?
Not really. Just love sport, particularly rugby. And I love just seeing what the lines are, what the bookies are offering. And just basically love the rugby matches. And it's what my main interest is. Like, love sport, play tennis a lot, but I'd watch a hell of a lot of rugby. I'm not as committed as Brady was saying last week, where he watches Russian rugby. I haven't really gotten that far, but yesterday they had the midweek games on, the Premiership games, and caught a few of them. So, yeah, like to watch a lot of rugby.
Excellent. Well, the fact that you play tennis makes you a most active member we've ever had on the show. I can tell you that right now as well. But let's move on to the big game this weekend. I mean, Leinster overcoming Munster last week. Ulster coming back to beat Edinburgh. A result none of us were particularly happy about. We were all on the Leinster-Edinburgh double. It looks like Edinburgh are going to win that game fairly comfortably. Ulster coming back and getting it. But we've got a handicap set here at double points. I think there was 10.5 early in the week. I've just checked at player bets. I haven't looked around elsewhere. 11.5 points now. Have you guys got your money down on this one yet?
Leinster minus 10. The way I see it, lads, Leinster have a squad of maybe 43 players, and they could rotate their team like they did 2 weeks ago. And I hate to be disrespectful to the Leinster squad and say they put out a second string team, but they will raft the changes for this week, and they will play a lot of the frontline Irish internationals. The word on the street is that James Ryan will be coming back into the second row to partner Devon Toner, and they will rest the halfbacks. Which were Luke McGrath and Johnny Sexton. They'll bring in Jamison Gibson-Park and Ross Byrne. Leinster really are hurt from losing that Heineken Cup final last year, and they'll be going after Saracens the week after. So there will be a little bit of rotation, but nothing like there was 2 weeks ago.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to come back to you because we got a points line on that game, but let's first bring the conductor in. Any thoughts on the handicap here, conductor?
Yeah, Brent, look, I've got Leinster, just, you know, start off with, I've got Leinster in heaps of multis, Leinster and Exeter to win their respective leagues, etc. I love Leinster. They're one of my favourite sides, if not my favourite side, overseas. The standards they have in rugby is just, it's just next level the way they play. As Dave says, even their second string side play with such accuracy and intensity is incredible. I also like the minus here. I wasn't super impressed by Ulster last week. Thought they did very well to come back against Edinburgh, but you know, the gulf in class between Leinster and Edinburgh is just too big. And as Dave says, James Ryan coming back, and when you can rest a guy like Johnny Sexton and bring a guy like Ross Byrne. And I mean, it's just what a luxury to have. And I was reading the comments from Andrew Porter, the tight end, and he was even saying, look, Leinster haven't hit their standards, and that's really scary to say that they haven't even reached their peak. I like I said, I've got them in heaps of multis. I've got, you know, quite a few Leinster -4.5s. But I'll take a couple of bets on Leinster -11.5. You know, their defense is incredible, and you know, for me, Ulster had such a big hurdle last week to get, because I think they've fallen short at that semi-final stage so many times. To get past that, I think that sort of mentally take a bit out of them. That's my gut feel, but I like Leinster on the minus there.
Leinster on the handicap, and I'm going to get you going. So you've got another comment there, Dave?
If you look at the previous 2 weeks since the resumption of rugby, Ulster went out and played against Connacht. They were appalling. Then the following week, they played against Leinster, and they weren't much better. For 60 minutes of the match last week, you know, they were dead and buried. I think in play, you could have got 20-1 with 20 minutes to go and Ulster to win. And then they come back and have a really good 20 minutes, and Ian Madigan had a cameo performance and saved the day for them. So they did fantastically well to get to the final. As Brendan said, Leinster haven't hit their straps yet, and they're gonna lift it again this week.
Excellent. Yeah, I was a fancy Leinster. So it looked like we're all on board there. Let's look at the total points line, 40.5. Neil making the comment that this actually, the final has only gone overs once in the last 6 years. So 40.5, Dave, would you be an overs or under punter then? Perhaps just while you're on that topic, just share what is your favourite sort of bet on rugby? Are you more the handicap or more the points player?
More the handicap, yeah. Like, definitely want to pick one side or the other.
Right. So you don't play, because there's a couple of us, you get a guy like, I'm a little bit like that as well. I'm a very much a points player. And Hendrik Swart, who comes on later to talk New Zealand rugby, he's like very much a points player as well. And you kind of, so I follow the handicap guys and generally make my own decisions on points. And, you know, the other way around, the guys will follow like Hendrik on the points. So no firm feeling for you. Do you have any idea what the weather's going to be like there?
I think weather's going to be clear at the weekends. Hopefully it will be a better game than the game we had last week, was the Leinster-Munster game. Unfortunately, like, Munster spent a lot of money bringing in Stephen Larkham as the attack coach, but they just gave the money, they gave the ball to Conor Murray, and all he did was box kick. I don't want to be bagging the South African lads.
Yeah. Yes. We know all about that.
Or G, he lasted all of 7 minutes in the first game.
Yeah, shame. Yeah. Yourself, conductor, I see Hendrik, no surprises there. Hendrik saw it coming in with an unders play there. And Neil just saying he would have preferred a nighttime fixture for unders, obviously with the sort of dewy conditions and stuff like that. You've got a feel out there on the points?
Yeah, Brent. I think that under 40 is not bad. I think probably where I'd look is Ulster unders. I don't see them penetrating that Leinster defense too frequently. I don't like to go against Leinster, because if they, you know, if they're in that mood, they literally will run 3 or 4 tries past you, you know, even with second stringers. So if I had to look at points, I'd probably look at Ulster on the points under. I love that Leinster defense.
Right, and that's the Pro 14 final. So I must admit, I'm looking forward to that one. I know last week's game, Leinster against Munster, wasn't that great, but I think it was a couple of weeks ago where they played out a belter. So hoping for something more like that in the final, except I think the points are going to be fairly one-way traffic. I do expect that we're going to get Leinster winning there by a comfortable double-figure margin. Right, guys, let's move on to the top 14. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share my screen now, just run through some of the handicaps here. And I must say, I am not very clued up on the top 14. Brady came on last week and got us going with it. And Dave, I'll start with you on the first game there. Russing against Montpellier, and the handicap here is -8.5 points Russing and 50.5 total points. Anything for you there?
If I was going to get involved, it will be Racing 92. I think with the Heineken Cup match next week, they'll be looking to get a little bit of rhythm. And I wasn't very impressed with Montpellier last week.
Anything for you there, conductor?
Yeah, I agree with what Dave says there. Yeah, like Racing, for me, a couple of seasons ago, I wasn't mad about them. But I think Finn Russell has made a big difference there, 10 for Racing. So, you know, he's brought a lot of fluency to that side. And I, as I said, I haven't been super impressed with Montpellier. The way they considered that trial last week in the death was a bit poor. So I agree with Dave. It's a bit of a catch 22 because like you say, Racing may just pull away there, and I think it's a Montpellier. Yeah, Racing's got that game next week as well. So they also may not want to, if they're cruising, may not want to injure too many guys. So it's a catch 22 there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always a tough one when there's a big game the next week, because on the one hand, as Dave says, they want rhythm, but on the other hand, as you say, they get 15 points clear, the job's done, and then they maybe don't really kick on. Let's move on to the next game section, Paluth. Is that Powell, if I'm not mistaken, against Agen? Yeah. And Brendan, I'll start with you there. The points line is 46.5 and the handicap -7.5. As usual in France, the home team favourite.
Brent, I don't know. I don't have any feeling that one. I don't know what Dave's feel is. I honestly, having been studying the smaller guys, that's where a guy like Brady will know player movements and stuff like that. I don't really know too much about that game.
Yeah, look, Brady's been doing like a thesis on the breakdown of who's playing where, and does he have another job? Like, he's incredible.
I think someone made a comment last week on the show as to whether or not he had a job at all. He had so much research done on the rugby.
No, I don't have any anything to add, unfortunately, to that, Brent, about that game. I think someone was saying last week, Sky Sports used to have the coverage for the top 14, I didn't get to see anything bar the amazing highlights last week of the Clermont-Toulouse game.
Yeah, it is a bit of a pity when the coverage stops. I know a lot of guys were streaming it last week. Dave, staying with you then, Toulouse against La Rochelle. Here we don't have points lines out yet, this game taking place on Saturday. 16.5 points, Toulouse favourites.
Toulouse, if any other team I enjoy watching in Europe other than Leinster, it's Toulouse. I don't know if anyone saw the try they scored from their own line last week. It was champagne rugby. I would be firmly on Toulouse in this one.
Toulouse and Conductor, anything for you in this one?
Yeah, same for me, Brent. Exactly as Dave says, the rugby they play is just, it's not sort of barbarian rugby where they just throw it around at all risk. They just play incredible rugby, and I love Ugo Molo as a coach there at Toulouse. He's just a magician. So, but there again, Toulouse do have a big game next week against against Ulster.
They're playing Ulster.
So I don't know, but I'd probably go on the minus. Yeah.
Right, and I'll stay with you. The next game's got actually the identical handicap, -16.5, and it's Bordeaux at home to Brive.
Yeah, there again, Brent. I think Bordeaux have a game next week as well in the Challenge Cup. Can't remember who they're playing, but they do have a game in the Challenge Cup next week. So, again, it's tough to say outright. I think Brady, if I can recall, he went Brive on the plus as a potential due to them having a game. But I won't touch that one. I'm not too clued up on that one.
Right, yourself on that one, Dave.
I'm not going to be much help on the French rugby this week. It's just so early in the season. The bit I was reading, that there was a lot of penalties seem to be given away with the new breakdown laws. So if you were going to be having a go, I'd probably be looking at the points line and maybe going on the overs.
Yeah, it's always interesting as well when a competition starts. I mean, if you look at that New Zealand competition this year, the Super Rugby. And the first couple of weeks, the refs are all over certain rules. And then gradually over time, they start forgetting about it. Perhaps the players adjust a little bit as well. I don't know. But moving on to the next game then, Bayonne against Clermont. Here we've actually got the away team as a favourite, which I don't often see in France. Clermont, 4.5 points favourite here, Dave.
Yeah, well, they were very good last week against Toulouse, albeit against 13 men. It all depends. They do have a big enough squad. Bayonne will be one of the favourites to get relegated, I would imagine. So, yeah, if I was going to go, I'd be on the away team.
Excellent. Brady coming in and saying, yes, he does have a job. Great, Brady. I know Brady's also on babysitting duties tonight. The last couple of weeks, his family were away, so he had a lot more time. I think the family also taking more of his time now as well. Neil just pointing out that Toulouse next week, -10.5 against Ulster. He reckons it's a gift. And I can tell you, Neil, who his thoughts on sports on Twitter is in cracking form at the moment. So, yeah, you want to follow him on those. conduct anything from you on that one?
Yeah, Brent, feeling a bit in the dark there. But there again, Clermont have a big game next week in the Champions Cup. And I think Brady did mention, I'll be honest, I didn't watch the first round of top 14. I didn't study the team sheets. I'm not sure if Rocca and Damien Pernod played that first game, but they should probably be playing this game. And if Pernod is in that mood, could be a long day for Bayon. He's just incredible. But Clermont, to me, have faded a little bit in their domination. I thought they were a bit better in previous seasons. As I said, that's just my gut feel. But once again, I can't really give any informed opinion on that.
Excellent. Well, have a look at the last two games that are taking place on Sunday. And does anything jump out for you there? And I'll ask Dave the same, because I wouldn't imagine that's still a few couple of days away. Anything there in the Stade Francais game or Toulon against Lyon?
Well, Toulon, from what I read, were absolutely useless last week. And I know you talk about the away team. I'd probably be going on Lyon there. But like I said earlier, with the new breakdown laws, I'd probably be waiting to see where the points lines come out and be going on the overs on any of these games. It's so early in the season, it's so hard to tell.
Right, and conduct anything to add on the French before we move into a bit of New Zealand rugger?
No, Brent, to be honest, no, not really, man. I was just disappointed to see all the injury news coming out of Toulon. I've got Toulon to win the, which I took many, many months ago, even before the lockdown. I've got Toulon to win the Challenge Cup. And I see that I think Anthony Bellow, I think he's injured. Etzebeth's picked up an injury. I think Carbonell is also injured. So, not good injury news coming out of Toulon there. So, hopefully, by the time they got a tough game against, interesting game against Scarlets at home, Scarlets should have pretty much a fully stacked Welsh side there. So, it'll be interesting game. I'm just hoping a couple of guys get fit. If Toulon can breeze past Scarlets, I'm hoping guys like Etzebeth will be fit for the final.
Excellent. Well, I won't try and read that now, but on the Good for the Game forum, Brady has made a few posts there on the weekend's rugby, including the top 14 and the Premiership. I think they were right underneath each other here. He's got his top 14 preview, so you can go into the Good for the Game forum to read that. This man, of course, is in cracking form, and the link to the forum is down in the description box below. So go and have a look at that one, and we can see if we can make some money in the French rugby by following the guy who really knows it. But that brings us to the end then of that. I'm going to be bringing Hendrik Swart in any second. In fact, I'll bring him into the studio as long. And before we say cheers to Dave, Hendrik, how are you?
Hi, Brent. I'm great. Nice to be back on the show again. I haven't been on for almost 2 months, probably. It's nice to chat again with you guys. Hi.
Excellent.
Dave, nice to see you.
Nice to meet you, Hendrik.
Hendrik, you actually look a little bit younger there, man. You obviously didn't have any money on our racehorse today.
I actually didn't have any on Brent. I just hoped that she'd place and get us some money back into the syndicate. But, it was a very nice run in the end after that bad start.
Yeah, it was a bit confusing because the commentator called the wrong horse. So I was watching with my daughter and the commentator kept calling our horse. And I said, no, the horse wasn't even in shot. It was gone. It wasn't even there. But a very nice, promising finish. We won't harp on that now, but a great fun to have a horse. And I must admit, I got very excited in the lead up there. But Dave, thanks very much for everything. I know you said you haven't really studied up on New Zealand. You've got a couple of mates who do know the New Zealand rugby. We'll definitely be bringing on at some point. Brilliant. But it's been great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys. And we'll talk to you soon. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Neil.
Excellent. Excellent. That was Dave Cooney. Thanks very much, Dave, for joining us. He's normally one of our viewers who watch on Facebook. So, guys, we just finished talking about Europe. We've talked about Oz. Perhaps, Hendrik, just from yourself, anything that stands out in those competitions for you, just before we get on to New Zealand? I know New Zealand is really where you've been doing your homework.
Yeah, Brent, on the French rugby, I know nothing about that, so I can't add anything there. I like Brendan's call on the unders in the Aussie Derby. Especially with the Rebels, I'd look at unders on Rebels points and unders on Delta points for that one. And then, new thoughts on sports pointing at the unders in the Pro 14 final. I like that as well. And I think the Ulster unders might be the better bet. I think it's Brendan who said that as well. So, I think the handicap is still around 7.5, if I'm correct. And with 40 40 and a half total points, you should get about 15 or 16 and a half Ulster points, and I think that's a cracking bet on that.
Yeah,
I think Leinster around about 10 off, but I agree with you. I think on that one, and I'm certainly we all in the Leinster camp there. But let's get into New Zealand, right? Because Henrik, I know you're very excited by the start of the Meter 10 Cup. What I'll do is I'll just pull up, and you can quote prices from anywhere. I'm just going to pull up PlayerBets one just to guide us through the in terms of the handicaps and stuff, and we'll go through the games. But perhaps before we start, anything grab you in the outright markets at this point, or you sticking to the games?
Now, Brent, I think there might be a bit of value in Canterbury. I'm a big Tasman fan. I've always been the last few years, and they've been very good for my pocket as well. I backed them last year on the outright after week one, about 14 to 10, and that came through easily. But I, you know, with the All Black players being back and Mwanga being back at the Canterbury especially, I think there's a bit of value. Sam Whitelock as well. In Canterbury, Tasman still has they have a good squad, but I'm not that impressed by their forwards, especially. They've got great backs. So I think they're worthy favourites, but I think there's a bit of value in the almost 3-1 on Canterbury. So I haven't put money down yet, but I'm probably going to watch the first week, and I don't expect a lot of movements in the outright market after the first week. So I'll watch the first week and then maybe back Canterbury. I see you brought up player bets here. Just one thing, they took down the Auckland game, so you're not going to see that one. I've got Sunbet open, and Sunbet's got all seven games, and they've got the handicap open as well. But yeah, so I've a few strong...
I'll bring up Sunbet as well. I've got them open in another tab here as well.
Also got a few games.
Yeah, okay, so they got all of those. So, excellent. Well, I've got this zoomed in, so we'll continue on that one. We will go for the Auckland game. Conductor, yourself, you're looking excited for the New Zealand tournament?
Super excited, Brent. I love Mitre 10 Cup. The style of rugby they play, I mean, we saw it in the Super Rugby Aotearoa. It's just lovely. And even the sort of journeymen love to have a crack, and it's always lovely. I always love those journeyman games, the Northland, Southland, Manawatu, Turbos. I mean, a lot of those guys, you know, it's a lot of playing for the passion of the game kind of thing. And there's a lot of guys, like Henrik brought up the other day, I think it's a 42-year-old making his way back for the Southland Stags. So, I love Mitre 10 Cup rugby. It's also nice to have that 9 o'clock game on a Saturday morning. 6 o'clock and a 9 o'clock game. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of the Mitre 10.
Then credit to Supersport. Someone was commenting the other day, there was no Mitre 10 Cup on the schedule. And I actually tweeted them, and they responded straight away and said, don't worry, the schedule's coming out now. We are at least going to be showing the game. So that's great news. But let's start with your conductor on the first game. That is on Friday morning, and it's North Harbour against Canterbury. Having a look here, total points line 55.5, and the handicap is plus 15.5 North Harbour, the Canterbury favourites.
Yeah, Brent, I'm actually liking, I took a bit of plus 8.5 for North Harbour on the halftime handicap. And the reason being is that my two favourite players in the world are starting for Canterbury, Eden Onari and Brett Cameron. I mean, he is just superb. I mean, at 10, he's a general there. He just controls everything. So, Canterbury's got a good side, but North Harbour's likewise got a couple of good decent players there. So, in the first half, I don't think they'll blow North Harbour away there. Especially with Brett Cameron at 10. So, that plus 8.5 on North Harbour sees my money. And if pushed, I'd take North Harbour on the full-time handicap. My only concern would obviously be, the strong Canterbury bench.
Right, Henrik, yourself in that game?
Yeah, exactly the same thoughts there, Brent. I also like that first half plus, but I also like 17.5. There's 17.5 at some bookmakers. And yeah, like you said, Brett Cameron and Inari, not the best halfback combination. Those two would struggle to make border or Northeast State in South Africa. And then yeah, you've got the two Bryns for North Harbour, Bryn Hall and Bryn Gatland at 9 and 10. That's a very solid halfback combination. And North Harbour playing at home. There's no crowds, but they're still playing at home. So, yeah, I also like the plus here. I'm unsure on the points. I see it is 55 and a half. Yeah, I think I'm going to – there's one game that I'm very confident in the points in this round, but after other games, I'm going to be a bit wary first round. Just have to see how it goes. And, yeah, I've got no feel on this total points for this game, but I like the plus, like Brendan said, the plus first half handicap and the plus full time.
Right, let's move on to the next game, Henrik, and we'll stay with you. Waikato against Wellington. We've got plus 7.5 Waikato here, and at this point, no points line. We'll do the Auckland game after this one.
Yeah, Brent, we spoke a bit on this. Me, Neil, Brendan, and the Barcelona boys spoke about this game on our WhatsApp group this morning. And Brendan, he pointed out that Waikato's squad is not that strong. I think they're going to miss Severis, and they've still got Quintipaya. They've got Damien McKenzie. The squad doesn't look that strong. And Wellington's got a very good squad. Their team is out for this game as well, and it looks very strong. Even with this being an away game, I can see Wellington winning this one by 15 plus by more than 2 converted tries. This is one of my better bets, and I'm sure Brendan is going to agree with me here. The minus 7.5, I think it's a great bet.
Well, I must say, I see some nodding going on at the bottom of the screen there. Brendan, I take it you're in agreement.
Yeah, Brent, as Henrik said, we had a discussion this morning, and when we looked at that Waikato squad, it is a bit thin. Severis is a massive loss to them. I'll have to go back and see how many tries he scored for them, but he's such a dynamic player. Losing a guy like that, an All Black international from your side, leaves a massive gap. They've got guys like Liam Messam back, and they got the All Blacks is Antonina Brown and Damian McKenzie. Fletcher Smith's not bad at 10, but I think that's about where it stops. To me, they don't have a great forward pack. And, from what I've seen, to me, they're a little bit a team in decline. And, that Wellington side's not far off a Hurricanes starting Super Rugby side. That loose trio of Vaia Fafita, he's a bit overrated, but he's still not, he's a good athlete. Vaia Fafita, Artie Sevilla, and Duplessis Karifi is a good loose trio. So I reckon Wellington fly in there, and I like that. There's no crowd in Waikato, which would have been a bit of a boost to the Mulu men with the cowbells ringing incessantly. But I see Wellington running in, yeah.
Well, let's stay with you for the next game. This is, I think, an early kickoff on Saturday. It's Otago against Auckland, and I've gone on to Sunbet. And let me say, Sunbet, I got great rugby odds, but if you want a bookmaker to bet on cycling, the Tour de France, then you simply have to have a Sunbet account. Their in-running odds and their pre-stage odds are excellent. And on that note, make sure you do subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can catch my daily Tour de France previews on YouTube. But let's go back to the rugby. I see Auckland are firm favourites here, and the handicap, 12.5 points, Brendan.
Yeah, Brent, I must say, well done to Henrik. I think he flew out the blocks. Unlike your horse today, he was very quick out the blocks. He was very quick out the blocks to spot, Auckland having, have a very, very strong squad versus Otago, who are looking very, very depleted. I think they've only got guys like Josh Iwani, a couple of those guys for them. So this, I see them struggling against guys like Hoskins Tutu, Caleb Clark, Riki Iwani. This could be a big, big score against Otago. No crowd there in Dunedin at the zoo to bolster them. So I really see. Sorry, I'm laughing at Bruce Allen's comment there. Sorry guys, I didn't mean to take a stab at yours. I'm sure it'll do better next time. But Auckland, I expect to do very well. It's one of my best. It's between that and the unders on the Super Rugby will be my best bets of the week.
Right, excellent. Henrik, I know you wanted to talk on that game. You obviously got a fancy there for us.
Yeah, Brent, I like the Blues minus very strong here. I think this one opened around 7.5, minus 7.5 for Auckland. I didn't get on that. I got on, when I made my bet, the handicap was 10.5, and I I just took the better odds on Auckland 14+. It's currently 12.5. I think it's still at least a converted try too low. I see Auckland winning by 20+ here. I'm very confident in this one. It's a home game for Otago, but there won't be any crowds. And yeah, it's going to be under the roof. So I think that's going to suit the Blues, the style of play. Auckland, it will suit their style of play. They've got great Blues forwards. They've got a great back line. They've got two solid props. That Otago squad is looking paper thin. And yeah, I really like Auckland here.
Right, and Dino suggesting there, perhaps asking, but I guess suggesting overs on Auckland points there. So that does sound like a good one. Certainly, see the game. I mean, that game's at 6 o'clock. I see the other game we spoke about was even before that one. And we've got plenty of games to look forward to. Henrik, let's stay with you. The next game, Counties Manukau against Tasman. And here we got a handicap plus 18.5 for home team. They're big underdogs. Tasman expected to run away with us.
Tasman, the reigning champs. The Counties, I've got no real feel on Counties. I'm not sure what to expect. Kieran Reid is back for them. He's back at Counties starting. I think, Brendan, you said he's starting, right?
Yeah, starting.
I'm not sure. I'm a bit unsure about this game. I've always liked Tasman, and if pushed, I'll probably go in the minus, but this is one of my lesser fancies, and I haven't got money down in this game, and I probably won't get too involved. I won't get involved on the handicap, and I'll have a look at a points play. Tasman, a very positive team. I'll probably look at an overs play on Tasman points if I can get mid-30s, it would probably be in the mid-30s.
Brendan?
I agree with exactly what Henrik was saying. I like the, instead of taking that big handicap, I'll probably look at Tasman points overs with a guy like Will Jordan at the back. He was just incredible for the Crusaders. Counties, I think, from what I've watched from them, from previous seasons, They're not a defensive side. They know, that I don't think they know they've got. They know they don't have the players to try and gut it out, to try and keep guys out. So, they'll try and match score for score. So, I see it being quite high scoring. Like Henrik says, Kieran Reid starting at 8. You got Dalton Papali'i at 7, Nepololala at 3. So you got a couple of reasonable names there, but the rest of the squad is a bit unknown. But I expect Tasman with the strong lineup they got to romp home there. So I like the points overs for them. And I must say, what I also enjoy about taking points over on a certain team, it's actually you want it to be positive for the game. You want it to be a good game, where as opposed to the Australian game, you're hoping for an absolute dogfight. So it's nice to put points overs because you want to see the guys run the ball, and that's so. And that's so nice in Kiwi rugby because it's naturally, that's a natural instinct is to actually have a positive crack. Whereas Australians, they're just too unskilled to do anything with the ball.
Enduring yourself to South African rugby, much like Couch Critic endures himself to Australians there. Brendan, yeah, good point. I mean, I think that's why we've often had that discussion why bookmakers enjoy overs punters, because most of us, most fans will go into a game wanting to see nice rugby. And over the years, you develop into a Henrik Swart type character. For him, nice rugby is 5-0, reset scrums, and a couple of skew throws in the lineup. That's a good game for him. But let's stay with Brendan for now and go on to the next one. Taranaki against Bay of Plenty here, Brendan. Bookmakers barely separating these sides. If anything, the home team, very slight favourites. But let's call this a choice game.
Yeah, Brent, I flew into Taranaki. On Sunday and Monday, then the news sort of flooded through that Bodie Barrett is a potentially not going to play. I see in all the press releases his pictures there, so I'm hoping that's a good sign. I've taken some cover on Taranaki, so I'm not as invested as I was. So I'm still in the Taranaki camp, but I'm sure as Henrik will say. Bay of Plenty were incredibly impressive last year. They won some good games and they won them quite, quite with a bit of margin to spare. So, you know, it's a tough one. I'll wait to see if Bodie Barrett starts. If he doesn't, then I'll trade out of my Taranaki position and switch to Bay of Plenty. Jordy Barrett is there for Taranaki. Lachlan Boucher for Taranaki. So they've got a couple of good players, but I think it's the unit that Bay of Plenty side is probably just a better overall side there. So, yeah, and with no crowd at the Naki, it's a tight one to call.
Right. Henrik, I enjoyed Brady's comment. He says when you tip an overs bet, he just follows blindly, because, I mean, he knows for you to tip overs, you must really, really fancy it. And everything, all stars must be aligned, refs, weather, the works. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, Brent, my first instinct is always unders. Like I said, it always unders. The overs is an exception. I don't like taking overs. It's probably a bit of negative from my side. And like you said, I like seeing the knock-ons and the scrum reset. So it's not good for rugby, but I've just learned over the years that it's better for your pocket to back the unders. So for me, I really go overs. So like you said, if I go overs, I really like it. And I've taken all the factors into consideration to scratch out all the factors for the unders. But this game, like Brendan said, the Bowden Barrett factor is big here. So it's going to depend whether he plays or not. I don't see a lot of movement in this game in the betting. So you can probably wait till you get that news. I'm leaning Bay of Plenty at the moment because of what Brendan also said last year. They were incredible and they're a great unit. They were great in the championship and worthy favourites. Bay of Plenty and Hawke's Bay, they were great in the championship. And if this was a home game for Bay of Plenty, I would have probably put money on them already. But they're not playing at home, and the chance of Bowden Barrett playing has kept me out of the betting at the moment. So I'm not sure what points will be or what trend it will be in this game, whether it will be an overs or unders game. This will totally be up to the quotes that we're getting, and that's going to be an afternoon game, so there should probably be a bit of points. So at this moment, probably a no bet call from me, but leaning Bay of Plenty, depending on Bowden Barrett's availability.
Right, let's move into the next game then. Southland, and we'll stay with you, Henrik. Southland against Hawke's Bay. And here we got Hawke's Bay, very strong favourites against Southland, 20.5, which is the biggest handicap of the weekend, I think.
Southland, last year they won their first game in, I think, 3 years. So they're the whipping boys of New Zealand. They play down in the deep south in Invercargill. And Hawke's Bay, they were incredible, like I just said. They were very good in the championship. And Hawke's Bay, they've got Ash Dixon at the back of the mall, scoring tries for them. And I see there's rain predicted for this game. On the handicap, before I get to the points, on the handicap, it's been good talk from Southland that they're playing more positive rugby. They scored 43 points in the warm-up game against Otago. But I'm not convinced. I still have to see that they had Marty McKenzie last year. They've lost him now. He's back on the family farm and he's playing club rugby. So I think they're going to miss him. New Zealand, Tony Lamborn is their captain, so they've got a good flank there. But I'm not convinced about Southland, and I think Hawke's Bay on the minus here, slight preference for me, but the bigger fancy is on the points here. There's points out with a few bookmakers, total points at 57.5, Southland points 18.5, and Southland first off points 9.5. And if you go and check the weather prediction, it looks like there's going to be a lot of rain during the day in Invercargill. Just hope the weather prediction is correct. I'm already on the unders here. I like the 157.5. I like the unders on and I like the unders on first off points a lot, 9.5. I'm very much invested in this one.
Dino just saying he's back into you, Henrik. I don't know why. Yeah, the sound seemed to just get a little bit worse as you were going along there, but we'll go to Brendan now and then come back to you and see if it's any better. But I must say, when Henrik talks like that, Brendan, I start thinking of following. He sounds very confident on Anders. He was very confident on Auckland. And I can tell you that tomorrow morning, as usual, my best bet that goes out, and I can't really call it my best bet because it's generally based on this show, and I take advantage of all of your guys' knowledge of the game. But I've got no doubt that one of those two is probably going to sneak in there, or if not, into an accumulator. What do you think of this game, Southland against Hawke's Bay?
Yeah, Brent, I'm also on the same page as Henrik there. You know, as a punter for many years, you know, when you go with cricket punting, especially in England, you know, you always look at the weather report, and sometimes you punt hoping for rain and it's clear skies. But, you know, when England is 50-50, I'd probably say 70-30 in New Zealand that there generally could be rain if they're predicting it. So, you know, I think there probably will be a bit of rain around there. My only concern is New Zealand, you know, Kiwis aren't as affected by wet weather ball as a lot of sides, but I still think that 57 is just too high for an opening game. I think Southland have brought in a bit of artillery, which will actually work, you know, in towards the under's favour, so that they're not going to sort of capitulate as quickly. They might just have a 30 or 40 minute, hard game. I read an article that they're trying to reinvest in Southland rugby. It's obviously, as Henrik said, I think they were on a losing streak of 23 or 24 games. So, they went through a bit of a rough patch there. So, you know, that was unlucky. You know, 24 games on the trot, that's a streak. So, I see they're trying to change it around. They've got guys coming in to try and bolster that side. So, I think that actually works in favour of the unders, is that Southland might be a bit more competitive for more minutes. I think that Ash Dixon try scorer will see my money off the back of them all. I can't see them stopping that.
Well, Hein Dumont, our couch critic, hasn't come out with his previews yet, but I've got no doubt that Ash Dixon will be mentioned in them. Although I'm guessing he's going to be taking maybe first try scorer, you'll get a decent price. I'm guessing any time try scorer will be fairly short given that big handicap. But Brennan, let's stay with you for the final game of the weekend. It's Northland against Manawatu, and here the handicap is plus 2.5 points, the home team. So we've got the wayside Manawatu are the favourites here.
Brent, I sort of briefly skimmed both teams. I haven't done too much study on either squad. I just see Manawatu has got Aaron Smith. And to me, he makes a hell of a difference in terms of team morale and getting the guys up. You know, if I look at what he did for the Highlanders in the Super Rugby Aotearoa, where he almost won game single-handedly. I like the turbos there. I'll maybe put a couple of bucks down and then do a bit more study. And you know, see if they are a bit more impressive on the team sheet. But no, I haven't. To be honest, I haven't studied that game much.
I'm just laughing at Neil's post there, and I think I actually was on the same game. Backed Southland. I actually remember this game very well. Backed Southland over 2.5 points in the game. I mean, all they need is one lousy penalty versus Canterbury, and they lost 18-0. And I mean, the thing is, when you're taking a bet like that, Brendan. I mean. Even when the side's 14-0 up, you still think, well, at least then I'll get a consolation try. I mean, 18-0 and you're on over 2.5 points. You know it's time to pack up for the weekend on that game, eh?
Brent, just one thing I wanted to say quickly. I don't want to jump back and forth, but on that Ulster game, if Leinster do race to a good sort of 12-14-0 lead, that points unders and Ulster is probably the best bet because that means they can't go for the threes. They have to go for tries, and then they're not going to score against a Leinster defence. If you look at Munster, they only managed that three against 13 from Leinster in that playoff game. So, no, I mean, it must be hella frustrating. All you do is, because they must have had a couple of, I can't remember exactly, I sort of remember the game, I think I watched it. They must have had a couple of chances to go for posts, and I can probably imagine Neil just screaming, take the three.
We've all got some great memories. It's funny, as much as you remember your wins, often it's the losses that actually stick in the mind. But a game like that is unbelievable. I mean, my famous one's always on a different note, just spread betting when I was high on shirt numbers in the famous 9-all draw between the Sharks and the Rebels in Durban or something. I mean, that I was honestly suicidal by the end of that game. But anyway, let's go on to Henrik. Henrik, the last game in Northland against Manawatu?
Brent, let's first see. Do you hear me better now? Is there problems?
Yeah, that's much better. Much better. You were fine earlier, and it just, for some reason, just got gradually worse. I thought it was my Wi-Fi, but then Dino mentioned probably it as well.
Yeah, because I'm hearing you guys perfectly, so it's probably my Wi-Fi. Yeah, I remember that 80-0 game very well last year, and I was also on the over 2.5 Southland points. That was, and like you said, I always also remember the losses better than the winners. This game, yeah, of all the games, this is the one I have the least fancy on. I'm not sure on either of these two teams. I'll probably go for Northland, the Taniwa, on the, just to win the game at 10, or almost 13 to 10. I hear the conductor on Aaron Smith, and he makes a big difference. But yeah, I'll probably just take the value on Northland to win this game. But yeah, chances of me actually backing it. That's just me saying what I think of the betting at the moment, but I probably won't get involved on the upright betting here on the handicap. Just maybe have a look at the points. But yeah, no real feel in this game.
Well, I've got the giggles watching Brendan. He's got the giggles. He's obviously read Neil's comment. He's screaming, take the three when they were 70-0 down. It's the hope that kills. And that's classic.
Brent, I think, like, as Panthers, we've seen that play out like a million times. You just need like a one-pointer or a two-pointer. They turn down the three, they hoof it into the corner, and they're driving, the momentum's going forward towards the try line, and then it's a knock-on at the back of the ruck, at the back of the mall, and it's just, oh, man, I've probably seen that scenario play out 1,000 times on your punt, and you laugh at it now, but during the moment, you're probably doing your head in.
At 70-0, there is a chance that team will take the three just to not get the nought. Eh?
And I actually want to watch the highlights again, because I'm pretty sure Southland might have come close once or twice, and it would have been that knock on over the line, and you're just like, oh, cross, is it like harder than they got dotted down there? You would think, because there would have been like one moment where Canterbury would have like tried to kick it through, would have been charged down, it would have been money on the Southland guy to dot it down, and then it spills the ball, and oh man, yeah, there were actually quite a few
moments where Southland got into the other team's half, but it was always after a kickoff which followed a try, unfortunately, and that was about it for as far as that game goes. Right, gentlemen, I think we're up to a best bet time of the evening. We've spoken a lot of rugby tonight. Let's start with you, Brendan. What's your best bet?
Yeah, Brent, it's I'll wait for that points line. For me, the points line, if it's anything over 46, if it's anything over 46.5 and higher on that Reds-Rebels game, that's my best bet. So then I'll split that with the Auckland-Otago. Auckland, such a good squad versus Otago, very, very weak. I don't even think that 12 is about 10 points short in my view.
Right, and let's go to Henrik and get his best bet.
Brent, there's so much rugby this weekend. We're actually spoiled for choice, and you're bound to get value and get some best bets. So there's quite a few bets I like. I like Brendan's unders on the Aussie rugby. I like the unders on Ulster points. Yeah, we haven't even seen quotes for the English Premiership, so there's so much rugby. But I'm going to stick to the Mitre 10 Cup in the first week, and I agree with Brendan that Auckland minus. I like the Auckland minus. I like the unders in the Southland game as well, but my best bet is Auckland on the minus 12.5 currently.
Right, and I'll certainly be following you guys. I do quite like the Reds on the handicap, but I can't bring myself to make an Australian team my best bet, so I'll be definitely going for something that one of you guys have said and combining it in the newsletter tomorrow. But thanks, first of all, to Dave, who came on earlier. It was great having him on the show. And Brendan and Henrik, thanks a lot. Brendan, have a good weekend there, and go and find the highlights of that Southland game.
I'll definitely give it a watch. I'll give feedback on the show, hopefully, for next week. I'll give feedback as to the amount of opportunities Southland had there. So,
excellent. And Henrik, thanks very much. Good to have you back on the show. I see this is kind of like a warm-up with local rugby on the horizon.
Oh, thanks, Brent. It's nice to talk a bit of rugby again. I'm really looking forward to this weekend's Fighter 10 Cup. And then, yeah, obviously next week we'll know a bit more about that comp and then fire a bit harder. And it's about a month to go for the South African rugby that's going to be back. And then it's then the bookies is going to get it.
Excellent. But I'll tell you what, follow the Tour de France previews. It's kind of a little bit different to rugby. You don't expect to necessarily win every day, but when you do hit one, it's good. Thankfully, I had one big bet last week that pulled me back square. But can't wait for the Tour de France this weekend. Can't wait for the rugby. Thanks, everyone, and thanks to all the guys who joined us in the live chat. Always a pleasure having you on. And one last bet from Dino here. Let's quickly bring it up. And this is, of course, in the NRL. Panthers, half-time, full-time tomorrow in the NRL. So that's Dino's bet to end us. And the NRL is definitely gaining popularity. We're getting a lot of guys there on the Good for the Game forum. Thanks, everyone. It was a great show, and look forward to seeing you next week. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.